The boy lifted the container of fuel in his hand and threw it at the side hatch of Leviathan. The canister was still airborne when Mildred blasted it with her revolver. The fuel detonated, fire spreading over the side of the craft, and the Ivy retreated. Together, the group grabbed the door. Forcing it open, they piled inside and slammed the hatch shut. A single tendril of Ivy stabbing for Mildred was cut in two and fell to the floor, quivering. JB had a thermite gren primed in his left hand, his index finger in the ring.
Dark Knight! No wonder nobody has ever looted this place.
Not decided.
A dark spot on Jack's arm spread outward, a thin trickle of blood appearing on his wrist. Crushing the vine under her boot, Mildred grabbed her kit and ripped open the teenager's shirt.
Just a flesh wound. Nothing serious.
Poison?
Jack was ready for the worst. She wrapped a white bandage made from a naval officer's Class A uniform around his forearm. The physician split the end with her teeth and tied it off in a fast field dressing.
No sign of it. I'd say you're clear.
Everybody else okay? Ah!
Ryan slid into JB's M4000 scattergun.
I thought... Where's Christy?
Startled, Ryan jerked his head around. One glance told him that she wasn't in the tank with them. Rushing to a blaster port, the one-eyed man blew away the outside greenery with a single discharge and looked frantically at the alleyway. Ivy was everywhere, thickening by the second like an incoming tide. Doc stood at the rooftop periscope.
Second floor!
Ryan turned and found her, dangling from the grip of the muty plant, 20 feet in the air. Her .38 discharged once, pointing at nothing in particular. Then, she was hauled over the rooftop and gone. Ryan strode past his friends and slid into the driver's seat.
Combat positions. We're going after her.
Nobody spoke. They just obeyed, knowing that seconds counted if they wanted the woman back alive. Calloused hands darting over the controls, Ryan primed the flamethrower pump, set the spray for maximum, and hit the switch. It was a design similar to the flamer used by the traitor in Warwag 1. Orange hell hosed outward from their roof, and the windshield cleared of the plants, giving them a clear view of the rustling green alley. Ryan lowered the angle and washed the craft itself with burning gasoline. Waves of heat flooded in through the blaster ports, and a thin, wavering lance of flame reached inside from the rear louvers, hovering in midair to stretch toward a startled Jack before dying away. The Ivy retreated. Already in gear, the freed Leviathan lurched into motion and started to crawl away at its pitiful top speed.
Watch for
her. Ryan fought to retain control of the vehicle as it bumped over the mutant plant.
It must be taking her somewhere. When it sets her down, we do a wreck and snatch.
Sure as hell going to try.
JB scanned the sky.
But where could it be taking her?
And us.
Mildred wondered if the plant wanted just the redhead, or if it was only using her to pull them someplace special. Cheese on a string.
A rooftop. The heart, head, whatever of the plant will be on the roof.
Plants need sunlight, but they feed from the roots.
Feed. Ryan felt ice fill his veins, but forced the word out of his head. Thoughts like that would only muddle his thinking. This was a time for quick action. He could consider the danger later, after he had her back safe and sound.
What's our missile status?
Mildred slid into the front gunner's chair and hit switches. Doc loaded a fresh belt of shells from the Vulcan 40mm cannon.
None. We have several of the laws left, but they're armor-piercing. No napalm or AP rounds.
Useless against this.
Pumping the clutch and working the choke, Ryan maneuvered Leviathan past the roof of the toppled building lying shattered in the street.
What about the 75s?
He put a burst of flame before them. The wiggling Ivy crisped into ash, the rest fleeing to a safe distance. For a while.
Willie Peter and AP both.
Excellent.
Dean was confused, then remembered Willie Peter was old talk for white phosphorus. The chemical burned at 1,000 degrees, and water only made it hotter. Killed nearly anything.
Fuel level?
The building on the corner over which Christy had disappeared was a clothing store with something unreadable on sale for half price. A flexible iron grating covered the big windows as protection against thieves in the night. Unfortunately, Ryan wasn't sure the slow-moving tank could get through any of those. Mildred checked the dial.
Half full.
Goddamn flamethrower eats gas like crazy.
You kill, we'll fill.
JB unscrewed the internal feeder pipe to the gasoline tanks. Without being asked, Dean arrived with two of the 20-gallon cans from the lockers.
Reg or condensed?
One of each.
Not damn. Any more?
Six or so.
Keep them coming!
A soft blaster shot sounded from their left. Moving along the littered streets, Leviathan rolled over lumps and assorted junk, crushing everything underneath them. Vine shot out at crazy angles, the slim tendrils going through the iron grid to lash at the windows. But the resilient glass stopped any further invasion. Ryan gave them a touch of flame, and the killer leaves retreated. Another shot, softer than the others.
Everybody quiet!
Ryan killed the engines. Silence reigned, except for the soft rustling of the muty plant all around them. There was another gunshot, and the shattering of glass. Mildred pointed.
There! Seems to be coming from that furniture store by the vacant lot!
The yard was strewn with ancient wreckage and assorted rubbish, completely unidentifiable. Dean lugged over two more cans.
A furniture store?
The second mistake. JB, prep a satchel charge, the biggest you have. Set it for 5 minutes.
Can do. Diversion?
Yeah. A furniture store means a loading dock big enough for Leviathan to get through to the cellar.
Cellar?
Dean paused in emptying another gas can into the access pipe.
That's where plants feed, the roots.
Ramming a timing pencil into a block of C4, JB tied shut the canvas sack full of plastique and moved to the roof hatch. Cradling his hurt arm, Jack was there, the locking bolt already thrown.
Go!
The tank lurched to the right and started into an ivy-infested alley. Flames washed over the craft once more, and as they went into the alley, Doc flipped back the hatch, and JB heaved out the satchel. But as quickly as Jack slammed the hatch shut again, a dozen vines wiggled in and struck out at anything near them. Boots and knives finished off the invaders. JB crushed a vine as if it were a cigarette butt.
Hellhounds, robot tanks, killer ivy. Damn the day we ever opened that redoubt.
Doc skewered a vine and split it lengthwise.
Pandora's box for sure. But, as with the Grecian myth, we still have hope.
And blasters.
There it is.
Ryan tried not to shout his impatience over the sluggish advance of their craft. He could outwalk this bastard thing going uphill. A wooden gate barring the end of the alley offered no resistance. Relentlessly, he drove the tank straight through a heap of bones and bent motorcycles piled toward the rear of the store. Brick stairs led to a door, and alongside was an inclined ramp going to a loading dock. The three big doors made of hinged steel planks banded together with rivets. Pulsating waves of ivy coated everything.
Center door.
Ryan headed for the middle as the twin 75mm recoilless rifles spoke in unison. The shells detonating on the loading dock, blowing the sheet metal into rubbish. Mildred lowered the angle and fired again, blasting off the jagged metal strips that edged the entrance to the cellar. She knew their military tires were tough, but there was no sense asking for flats when speed was what they needed most. A few remaining strips of steel jutted or dangled from the smoking entranceway, but Ryan paid them no heed and plowed the juggernaut through. The headlights came on automatically as darkness engulfed the vehicle. The inside of the building was a jungle, vines as thick as cables festooning the walls and ceiling. More bones, hundreds of them, thousands, littered the leafy floor, and fat cocoons hung in clusters like bunches of grapes. A curtain of ivy formed a solid barrier across the room, effectively hiding anything beyond the expanse of moving greenery. Dean poured the last canister of extra fuel into the pipe and screwed the cap on tight.
Done!
Staring at the morass before them, something deep inside Ryan demanded that he lead the wreck into the building. It took a force of will stronger than Ryan knew he had to counter that. He was the best driver, and already behind the wheel. It was his task to stay here, direct the rescue, and protect Leviathan. What was the point of saving his lover if there was nothing for her to come back to but ivy-infested wreckage? Ignorant of the man's private struggle, JB took the M4000 from the rack behind the driver's seat and walked to the portside hatch.
This is going to be nasty, people. We got to get hard, move fast.
John?
Mildred paused in the work of sliding fresh shells into the 75mm rifles. Their gaze met, but neither spoke. Sometimes, words weren't enough. A boom shook the entire structure, smoke appearing over the leafy rooftop. The plants went mad, ripping apart rubbish and smashing random debris.
Go!
Ryan cleared a path ahead of the tank.
Welcome to hell!
JB shoved open